The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
Hey guys, I'm really pleased to have a new sponsor to the podcast. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. They're the easiest and the most exciting way to play DFS. It's just you against the numbers rather than you battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks. Football season's over, but hoops action is heating up. Whether it's tournament season right through the end of this month or the fight for playoff home court advantage heading into the postseason, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. Download the app today and use code Sheehan, S-H-E-E-H-A-N, for a first deposit match of up to $100.
You don't want it. You don't need it, but you're going to get it anyway. The Kevin Sheehan Show. Here's Kevin.
Let them drive. Let them do what they want. Just stay on him. Face guard him. Don't help.
Wilkie comes off a screen. Fakes the three. Now he'll take it.
Yes, sir!
Jack Golkey last night for Oakland University. 10 made threes to lead the Golden Grizzlies, I think that's their nickname, over Kentucky in the game of day and night number one in the NCAA tournament. Round one, that would be. Tommy had it. He had Oakland with the upset. He also had Duquesne as an upset winner in the bracket that he filled out the other day. The show's presenting sponsor, as always, is Window Nation. Call them at 866-90-NATION or head to windownation.com. Mention my name for a free estimate. One guest on the show today, Brad Spielberger from PFF, will jump on with us in the next segment. Brad is more of a salary cap guy and a free agency guy, but he will weigh in on what he thinks Washington should do with number two overall as well. Speaking of Washington and the football franchise known now as the Commanders, I'll get back to the tournament here in a moment, but there was an interesting quote yesterday from Albert Breer. Albert Breer was doing a radio appearance on an NBC sports radio program, I believe it was. The audio was really rough, so I'm going to read you the quote rather than play the audio for you. He said, quote, 99% Caleb Williams to Chicago, and the more I've asked around, the more Jaden Daniels is the leader in the clubhouse for the Commanders. And then he reiterated that at the end of the segment where he said the leader in the clubhouse as of right now for Washington at number two is Jaden Daniels. You know, that follows the other day, and I don't think I mentioned this on the podcast this week, but Eric Edholm from the NFL Network, who we've had on the show before, was on with Grant Paulson on 106.7 The Fan, and he said, quote, I heard from two different people that Washington could go Jaden Daniels. I think Jaden would give them a higher floor immediately. There are people who believe Drake's going to need a little more time, closed quote. I personally still am not buying it. Eric Edholm and Albert Breer are solid guys. Breer, a solid reporter. I'm not buying that Washington's made up their mind at this point. Could they be leaning Jaden Daniels? Could people have somehow gotten some information, you know, in conversations with Adam Peters at the combine or at the pro day the other day for Caleb Williams, another pro day today for J.J. McCarthy? It's possible. It's also possible that, you know, they're head faking, that perhaps they know of a team that wants to move up to number two pretty badly for Jaden Daniels, and they're trying to get some information out there. I don't even think that's likely. I think they're going through these pro days, and the group as a whole is a meticulous, methodical group, and they're not going to come to a conclusion until they have all of the information. This is not an impulsive ownership group, and the people they've hired are not impulsive. Impulse is what we did for 25 years. That's not the mode of operation anymore. You just had the first of four crucial pro days. Pro days are more instructive for the evaluators than the combine. Now, nothing's more instructive than the tape. Nothing's more instructive than a lot of the people you talk to in your due diligence process on these guys. I'm certainly not suggesting that Eric Edholm or Albert Breer haven't heard from people that are credible that Washington may be leaning that way. I just wonder if they actually are as a group. As of this point, without all of the information in, and we are more than a month away from the draft, I would bet that they have certainly feelings about Jaden Daniels and feelings about Drake May and J.J. McCarthy and Caleb Williams and Penix Jr. as well, along with Nix. And there may be a personal lean at this point with each of them, and those leans may be different. But anyway, stay tuned, by the way, for Brad Spielberger, because I've already recorded my conversation with Brad, and he has a slightly different take on Washington at number two. But Eric Edholm and now Albert Breer within the same week suggesting that they are hearing Washington and Jaden Daniels. By the way, Washington added corner James Pierre yesterday. He was primarily a reserve special teams contributor, was an undrafted free agent by the Steelers back in 2020. Another one-year deal. Washington's got to lead the league this free agency period in one-year deals. You're now talking about 13 of 21 now, I believe it is, or is it 14 of 22? I think it's 17 new players, four that they had on their roster last year that they've re-signed. So that would be, that would be at this point 21, and I think 13 of the 21 have one-year deals. I don't know if that's a record. I'm sure there are lots of teams in the back half, the back third of the roster, that there are a lot of one-year deals. But this is in line with what they've been doing all along. Cautious, measured, no risk of, you know, roster inflexibility down the road. Adam Peters is creating a situation in which he has plenty of flexibility with the roster. And really, I think his first major imprint on the roster is the draft. It's very possible that you could view this free agency period as Dan Quinn's first imprint on the roster. Players that he is primarily familiar with, and players that will, you know, preach his sermon day in and day out in the locker room, a.k.a. culture. But anyway, I will get to what Brad Spielberger thought of the free agency class, who he likes Washington to take at number two. We'll talk some league stuff with Brad as well. So I'll get to my smell test picks here in this opening segment for Friday. 2-1 yesterday. Two easy winners. I gave out Oakland and Gonzaga. And then Kansas was certainly headed towards an easy win. I gave them out minus 6.5. They were up by 23. And then Samford just got red hot. They actually got it down to a 2-point game late. Kansas had opportunities up 7 to pull away. They missed some free throws. Ended up being a 4-point win for Kansas. So I went 2-1 on the smell test yesterday, 2-2 overall. In that game, by the way, there really was a horrible call. On a breakaway layup with under a minute to go, there was a block shot by Oakland that was a clear-cut block shot. It was a great play, and it was called a foul, and it sent Nicholas Timberlake for Kansas to the free throw line for 2 free throws in a 1-point basketball game. It was 90-89 at that point. They'd gotten it down to 1. I said 2. They'd gotten it down to 1, and he made both of those free throws. And then they missed a 3 to tie it. But that block shot would have led to a runout for Samford, down 1 with the ball with like 14 seconds to go. They would have had a chance. That Kansas-Samford game had an exciting ending, but the game of night one, was Oakland's upset over Kentucky. And a lot of the post-game conversation wasn't about how great Oakland was, and they were, but it was about John Calipari and Kentucky. Calipari's now not made it out of the first weekend of the tournament for 3 straight years. He actually hasn't been out of the second round of the tournament since 2019. Made it to the second weekend of the tournament since 2019, in part because they didn't make the tournament one of those years, and the other year was a COVID year. He's not going anywhere. I don't think he's going anywhere. $33 million would be the buyout. John Calipari is a hell of a coach. However, we heard this for different reasons the other day from Tony Bennett at Virginia. Stylistically, he's going to look into making changes. The headline off of the upset loss last night is Calipari to mull changes after Kentucky's first round exit. Well, look, entering 2022, Kentucky was 19-0 against 14 seeds or lower in the NCAA tournament. Now they're 0-2 since. They lost to St. Peter's, a 15 seed, and they lost last night to Oakland. Jay Wright, the Villanova coach, last night, post-game, post the Kentucky loss, summed up the issue perfectly. It's an issue that teams like Kentucky have because they are so young. You know, their team this year, they had 15 rostered players. 8 were freshmen, 3 were sophomores. Oakland, on the other hand, had 1 freshman, a pair of redshirt freshmen, and then 5 of their players were either seniors or grad transfers. And we've seen this. This is a game, especially with NIL now, and players getting more of an opportunity to get paid and stay longer. The older teams have an advantage. We've known Calipari to be one and done as a coach. This is what he's mulling. Jay Wright summed it up perfectly, I thought, last night in the postgame show.
The era of taking these young freshmen and trying to play against older players is over. I think he did a phenomenal job with these guys all year, getting them to be as successful as they were. You can see they're playing against grown men. The guys on Kentucky will be far better pros than any of these guys on Oakland or any of these guys in the tournament, but they're not as good college basketball players. It's at this point in their career, they're not as disciplined yet as the guys from Oakland. And it's not Cal's fault. It's they're 18 years old, and they're in this era where everyone's telling them how great they are. Just show up in college and you're going to win. It doesn't happen that way. And the more the guys stay in college because of NIL, it's going to be tougher for young teams like this to be successful.
I thought Jay Wright summed it up perfectly there. We'll see if Calipari and others like Calipari listen. There's a massive difference in physical maturity between an 18-year-old and a 24-year-old. Usually there is. Now, you won't have the COVID year moving forward, so you won't end up with 25-year-olds as a general rule. But with the grad transfer rule and with NIL money, as Jay Wright pointed out, keeping guys in school longer that aren't first-round NBA guys, it's going to be hard for young teams. You watched Kentucky down the stretch. They panicked. You know, they, I'll tell you where it really showed. I thought that they were very undisciplined defensively. And that takes time. You know, it takes time defensively to, you know, build your team into what you want it to be, because young players typically take longer to develop defensively. There's not a lot of it at the high school or the AAU level. You know, they're just a lot of games, and it's a lot of offense on display. Kentucky's got some great players. I love Dillingham, by the way. I think he's going to be a really good NBA player 5 years from now as a point guard. But interesting stuff from Jay Wright, for sure. The rest of the day, in terms of day one, I thought Carolina was really impressive. I know it's Wagner, but their pace of play and the athletes they have is fun to watch. The same with Illinois. Man, is Terrence Shannon just so good. He's going to be a good pro, too. I mean, he's a top half of the draft. They've got 2, 3, 4 pros on that team, 3 at least at Illinois. I just don't like the way they guard, to be honest with you. NC State, another win. 5 last week at the ACC tournament. They beat as an 11 seed, a 6 seed in Texas Tech, and DJ Burns was outstanding again in that game. The place was going nuts when he got the ball and started to back down. 6'9", you know, every bit of 3 bills, I'm guessing. But so skilled he is. What else from day one? Dayton's big comeback was pretty impressive. Washington State's comeback was pretty impressive. And, man, Izzo, he just gets his teams to play their best ball tournament time. They have talent that should have produced more during the regular season, but does it really matter now? They get Carolina next. All right, let's get to the smell test for today. And the smell test, as always, is presented by MyBookie. Head to MyBookie.ag. Use my promo code KevinDC, and they'll give you a cash bonus on your initial deposit. MyBookie has everything you need for the tournament. There are about 150 prop bets per game that you can check out for not only today, but the rest of the weekend. Both tournaments available, lots of contests. MyBookie, fair point spreads, fair money lines, fair totals, fair pricing. Go to mybookie.ag, use my promo code KevinDC. So 2-1 yesterday, that makes me 2-2 on the tournament so far, because I had Boise in the first 4. Kansas just let me down last night. They had that easily covered. But give Samford credit. They came roaring back. And Kansas looked like they were a little out of gas. They're a little bit thin right now with some of their injuries. All right. You know, the Big Ten went 2-0 yesterday. The SEC struggled. Maybe this is the year the Big Ten strikes back. I actually almost gave out Michigan State yesterday. I kind of like them. I like 3 Big Ten teams today. Let's start with an early game. Northwestern is getting 4 against Florida Atlantic. The public's on Florida Atlantic. I'll take Northwestern plus the 4. Nebraska is another Big Ten team that I like today. Nebraska is laying 1 now against Texas A&M. Take the Huskers laying the point against A&M. And then I really like Wisconsin later on. Everybody loves James Madison right now. One of the best teams in the country, 31 regular season wins on a 13-game winning streak. Wisconsin is a 5.5-point favorite. It's interesting that the public has gotten used to these 5-12s in particular, and they love to take the 12s. I'll take Wisconsin and lay the 5.5. And then there's one other game, and this would seem kind of contrary to the way I usually do it, but an 11 seed in Nebraska, they are actually favored over Clemson. Typically, that would mean I'm going to be on Clemson. No, the public loves Richard Pitino's team. Yeah, Richard Pitino. That would be Rick Pitino's son, who was at Minnesota. He's now at New Mexico. They're laying 2.5. The lower-seeded team favored over a big-seeded team or a higher-seeded team. I would have in the past had that lower-seeded team. Not today. There is more public action on New Mexico than just about anybody today. I'll take Clemson. So the smell test is Northwestern plus 4, Nebraska minus 1, Wisconsin minus 5.5, and Clemson plus 2.5. I'll tweet the picks out, and I'll tweet the picks out for Saturday and Sunday. Follow me at Kevin Sheehan, DC. Brad Spielberger next, right after these words from a few of our sponsors.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
This segment of the show is brought to you by Window Nation. March is a critical time to check your home's windows. If yours are cracked, if they're leaking, if they won't stay open, or they're hard to lock when you close them, now is the time to call Window Nation. They've got a deal going right now that allows you to buy two windows and then get the next two free with no limit. Plus, no money down, no payments, and no interest for 24 months. If your windows are older, if they're 10 years of age or older, you probably need new windows. You're losing a lot of money on your heating and air conditioning bills, and your home doesn't look up to date. Give Window Nation the first shot. They'll give you a free in-home, no obligation quote, so you've got nothing to risk. You call them at 866-90-NATION or head to windownation.com. Mention my name. You get that free estimate. You can shop it if you want. I've been endorsing Window Nation for 15 years now, closing in on 15 years. I've been a customer. Many people I know have been customers. It always works out. Right now, through the end of the month, buy two, get two free with no limit, with no money down, no payments, and no interest for two full years. 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. All right, jumping on with us right now is Brad Spielberger. Brad is the salary cap analyst at Pro Football Focus. Does a great job covering free agency for PFF. You can follow him on X, on Twitter, at PFF_Brad. Brad, thanks, as always, for jumping on and doing this. How would you categorize last week in terms of the activity, the intensity it seemed like of the activity for the first couple of days compared to previous years?
Yeah, it was pretty quick out of the gate for the first 48 hours or so. We obviously get, you know, a lot of big deals in the first couple of days during that legal tampering window, whatever that dumb title we give it now. But yeah, I think you saw also just a lot of teams letting big players go, right? I mean, Kirk Cousins, you know, Hunter leaving Minnesota, some of those Houston guys going back to Minnesota, like Jonathan Grenard and others. So I think that was a big thing, too, is that, as always, we got a couple guys return to their incumbent team right before free agency began. But I think less so than normal did we have that. I think more guys truly did switch teams this year, it felt like.
Do you know specifically why there is a 48-hour, or it's actually a little bit longer than 48 hours, it's 52 hours, of a legal tampering period? What's the purpose of it?
It's a great question. I think they wanted to some degree, allow teams to make decisions before they had to get their books in order and sort everything out, because you don't have to be cap compliant or anything like that until, like you said, the 52 hours later at 4 p.m. Eastern on the 13th, Wednesday, is when the new league year actually starts. So maybe that's part of it. It's like, hey, here's a grace period. You can make some moves, but you don't have to process them until later. So you can figure out, all right, we're going to sign these guys. Therefore, we now need to cut these players or get a pay cut, get a restructure going. So like, it maybe enables you to make some decisions where, let's say you don't sign a player, you miss out on a free agent, say, okay, now we're not going to cut this guy or ask him to take a pay cut or whatever. Maybe that's it, but I couldn't really tell you.
All right, well, we have obviously been obsessed for the last 2 weeks here, or 10 days, whatever it's been, talking about Washington's class. So we have had a lot of opinions on it, but I'm interested in yours. Somebody who studies salary cap, understands contract value, etc. How would you describe what Adam Peters did in his first year as the general manager, at least so far?
Yeah, I actually really like what they've done so far. I talked a little bit about, on some national spots, maybe even in Washington, that I had expected them to be one of the biggest spenders in all of free agency. I heard there was some pressure, some motivation to get a bunch of good talent. You're trying to get a new stadium built. You're trying to revitalize the fan base. And, new owners come in and sometimes have this kind of new owner syndrome, so to speak, where they just want to make these huge splashes. And they didn't really do that. They spent a good amount on mid-tier players, which really is what free agency is about. And also particular positions. You get, centers and linebackers and, rotational type of edge rushers like a Dorrance Armstrong. Like, everything they did, I think, is how you're supposed to operate in free agency, which is you get good young talent at depth or at non-premium spots. They may have spent a little bit extra. Like, you could probably nitpick of, was the Beatus deal pretty strong for him? Yes. Was the Dorrance Armstrong deal strong for him? Yes. I actually thought the Frankie Louvu deal was a slam dunk for all parties, good value for the team. So I actually really, really, really like what they did, because now you drop in the five top 100 picks. You let those guys be your premium position, franchise cornerstone guys that you hopefully pay top dollar to. But I commend them for not, making some massive splash on one or two players and instead spreading that money out over a bunch of guys.
So it sounds like Louvu would be your favorite signing.
Would you say it again?
It sounds to me like Frankie Louvu would be your favorite of their signings so far.
Yes. Yeah, I think it's fair to say. He brings a fun pass rush element. He plays with his hair on fire coming forward and can crash and attack and shed blocks and get through gaps. And I also like how he pairs with Jermaine Davis as that will, as that coverage guy, that dropper. I think they work well in tandem, and you kind of see that spot next to Jermaine Davis get neglected a little bit so far in his career, and that is not the case at all now anymore. So they're a good combination, and I just like how Dan Quinn now is going to be able to deploy Frankie Louvu in a bunch of different ways. Like I said, he will add that pass rush element too, because obviously you still need more off the edge. Not saying he's going to play edge rusher, but you're not there yet in terms of who you have on the edge. So it's good to add other ways to manufacture pressure, and Louvu is one of those guys.
Was there a signing that you didn't like that they made?
Not really anything that I hated. Like I said, I do think you could say a couple of the deals they made were pretty strong for the player, right? Like, I do think Tyler Biadasz is a very, very good high-floor center. There's no question about that in my mind. Did I think he was a $10 million a year player? Not really. And we got some signal early on. Andre James goes back to the Raiders for $8 million a year. I thought James was a very comparable player to Biadasz, but to me it's like, okay, well, you're taking a rookie quarterback second overall. You should get in a veteran, very high floor, good pass protector. He's apparently, a very smart guy going back to Wisconsin. He'll call out the protections. He will help a rookie quarterback more than maybe any other free agent could have. And in that scenario, yeah, spend a couple extra dollars. I don't mind it one bit.
What did you think of their strategy at backup quarterback with Mariota?
Yeah, I think he is a fit with what Cliff Kingsbury wants to do. He's a guy that has the athletic ability and then can throw, very, very far downfield, right? He's a run-and-shoot type of quarterback, and it makes a lot of sense that there would be a connection there between those two people. They would appreciate each other's skill sets and what they're good at. So, I think it makes sense. I think you had to get some type of bridge in. I wouldn't mind keeping Brissett either, but I think they wanted like a dual threat, an athlete that has, some experience in this run-and-gun type of offense. So I think it made a lot of sense. Again, was a little bit rich, maybe, but, nothing too crazy there.
What do you think's next? They still have an S-load of cap space. It's either tops in the league or second, depending on which of these sites. I know you're a contributor to Over the Cap, so I just pulled Over the Cap up. It looks like after the last couple, Davis and the one yesterday, they've got about $49 to $50 million, roughly. What's next, do you think, if anything, in free agency? Or will they save this for what should be a hefty rookie class, including a number two overall?
Yeah, so I think that there's no more splashes, but I do think you could see them add, I would guess, some of the markets that have moved slower, which to me is in the secondary. There are still some names out there, both at safety and at corner. Obviously, they do not retain Kendall Fuller or Cameron Curl. I really wonder what's going on with Cameron Curl in that market and how it was so, just very, very weak, and why Washington wasn't interested at that price point. But anyway, there's still a ton of talent left at both of those spots. So maybe you add maybe a veteran presence to that secondary, for cheap, because there are still a lot of names out there. But in terms of larger splashes, I doubt we see any.
I had suggested before free agency started that I didn't think that there were going to be big, long-term, expensive deals done. One of the reasons potentially could have been, Josh Harris had to bring on 20-plus limited partners just to buy this team less than a year ago. It's the largest ownership group other than the publicly held Green Bay Packers in the NFL now. And that, the outlay of a lot of cash and potentially even, money put into escrow, if they were going to spend most of the cap, might be a bit of a challenge for them. I also thought there was a chance they could take some back-end loaded contracts and put them into this salary cap year. Like John Allen, most of his cap hit is here in the final 2 years of his deal, the final year of his deal, which is 2025. We've seen some of that before. I even brought up, and you'll appreciate this, I even brought up the Brock Osweiler deal, where essentially, they traded cap space, the Browns did, for draft picks, if you recall. But anyway, could we see any of that, or do you think they'll just take what they have in cap space when they're all done with this season and just push it forward to 2025?
Yeah, so, I do think when you're in now this mode, you probably will have some more front-loaded deals. Another example right. We always talk about is when the Niners when the Garoppolo went to the Niners, they didn't, push that money out and prorate it. They actually kept a lot of hits early, which then enabled them to have kind of these lower cap hits and cash outlays in later years of the deal, and they were able to spend around it. So, yeah, I think that could be a thought process here is don't structure these deals to push a bunch of money down the line. But instead, take the hits early, and then, like you said, they still have around, after the draft class, we still have them having around $35 million in cap space. That's what everyone signed from this loaded, and big draft class. So, yeah, you could just carry that over. You're allowed to carry over any unused cap space. So you could roll that forward again, and then let's say, the rookie quarterback looks great, then maybe you do kind of spend a little bit more aggressively and competitively, going forward.
And just for everybody's understanding, we've had this explained to us before, but essentially there are like three-year periods, I think it is, and we're at the beginning of 24, 25, 26, where over the 3 years you've got to spend 89% of kind of the aggregate salary cap. Is that the minimum spend rule, or maybe you know it and can explain it better?
Yeah, so last year just ended a window where it was 3 years for you to spend 90% is the new CBA.
90,
you got to spend 90% of the. Yeah, so now we're in a 4-year window, and this is the first year of it. So over the next four seasons, including this year, 2024, you have to spend, on aggregate, 90% of the unadjusted salary cap, though, right? So if you carry over cap space, let's say the cap is $300 million next year, just to make it easy. If the Commanders carry $20 million over, they don't have to spend 90% of that $320. You still have to spend 90% of just the $300 in cap.
Got it.
So, not to get too convoluted, but anyway, yeah. So 90% over the next 4 years, and you'll see it, a lot of teams will kind of stagger it. The Bears, I'm not going to say they traded for Montez Sweat to hit the cash minimum, but like it was, right. You know, they were probably there by the time they did that move. They were very, very close the whole season. But that was an example of a team that was like, you know, all right, we're near that margin. We're going to be patient, but we are going to have to get there at some point. And then that move happened.
That's interesting. I didn't even think of it. So the Bears really, in that last year of the three-year window, had to get to the minimum. And so the trade for Sweat and then the immediate significant extension helped them get there.
If I had to tell you a guess right now, I would say they were probably like within $5 million under or over by that time. Like before the season started, they were not there. And they spent a little bit in free agency, but still not a ton. They made a couple of mid-tier moves. They did, you know, Tremaine Edmonds was a big contract. But
right.
I remember going into the year, I was saying, okay, like they could get there with just if certain guys go on IR and they just, you know, have to sign more players and stuff. You know, like obviously there's the in-season small moves that add up over the course of 17 weeks. I wasn't keeping tabs on it on a weekly basis, but I do think that when they made that trade, they may have been a couple million under. And we're like, all right, let's just go get Montez Sweat. We'll give him a massive, you know, four-year extension, and then we're good.
All right, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, Brad will talk about which teams around the league did well in free agency, which teams didn't, and we'll get his thoughts on the quarterbacks in the draft right after these words from a few of our sponsors. Hey guys, if you're into DFS, Daily Fantasy Sports, listen closely. Prize Picks is a new sponsor, and I recommend them. They're the largest daily platform for DFS in North America. They're the easiest and the most exciting way to play DFS because it's just you against the numbers instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Conference tournaments are here. The big tournaments start next week. Be a part of the action on Prize Picks for both men's and women's college basketball. Prize Picks even offers injury insurance so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. For basketball games, as an example, if you've got a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player projection won't count against you and the rest of your entry stays live. Download the app today and use code Sheehan for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app. Download it today. Use code Sheehan for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more. Pick less. It's that easy.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals.
Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This segment of the show is brought to you by Magden Motors. Magden Motors is new to the DMV. They are a premier highline exotic dealership. They specialize in clean, low-mile, and unique spec vehicles. All of the big brands, Porsche, Ferrari, Lamborghini, and McLaren are available. Every car goes through a 110-point inspection and is backed by an extensive warranty. Financing and leasing available on all vehicles. An expert staff they have with an average of over 20 years of experience. You can find out more if you're in the market for high-line exotic vehicles at Magden Motors. That's M-A-G-D-E-N Motors.com. We continue with PFF's Brad Spielberger. I'll ask Brad about his preference of quarterbacks for Washington at number two here in a bit. But let's talk league here for a moment. With most of the free agency damage being done, give me a team that you think did really well or has done really well so far.
Yeah, I think I really like so far what Minnesota and Houston have done, kind of in two different directions. You know, and they obviously swapped a lot of their rosters. But Houston understanding where they are right now with C.J. Stroud, but at the same time not going too crazy. I love that every deal they give out essentially is a two-year contract. And I say that because if Stroud plays at the same level he has the last year, in 2 years from now, he'll be signing the biggest contract in NFL history. So they set it up to where once his money could hypothetically kick in, all these contracts will be coming off their books and they can, you know, retool and prepare for life with a veteran, you know, quarterback on that massive deal. So I like that. And the flip side is Minnesota, where I think the Vikings just finally accepted and acknowledged this is probably not going to work with Kirk Cousins because our defense is very, very talentless right now, and we just have to pay Justin Jefferson over $30 million a year. We can't spend on the quarterback and do all of those things. So let him walk, let Daniil Hunter walk, obviously to Houston, and get cheaper and get younger. And now I love the nucleus they built where you drop in a rookie quarterback, which we all expect them to do, probably try to trade up in the top five somewhere. And I think it could work pretty quickly because they got a lot of big deals off their books.
Did they need to pay Darnold $10 million?
So that's funny because it's almost one of these, like, you pay a little bit of a premium so that you can tell other teams, like, oh, we don't need to trade up with you, right? Like, if they were calling the Arizona Cardinals at four, you know, and Nick Mullins was their starting quarterback, it's probably a more difficult conversation. And that sounds dumb, but it probably is part of the calculus there. But no, they did not need to give Sam Darnold a 100% raise after he threw 46 pass attempts last year.
That's an interesting strategy. I bet they could have accomplished the same thing for less money.
I would agree with you. There were so many of those bridge options out there, as we talked about. But anyway.
Is there a player that just got an unbelievable deal that perhaps he shouldn't have? And then on the flip side, where did the team get the absolute best value on a player?
Yeah, so I won't say he shouldn't have, but Christian Wilkins' contract was just the perfect marriage of timing and the market exploding with Chris Jones being able to match the Aaron Donald deal. Before that, every team had been able to sign these extensions for defensive tackles and just treat the Donald contract as a total outlier. We saw in Washington, Deron Payne gets $22.5 million per year. Dexter Lawrence gets the same. And then there was, you know, 23, 23 and a half, 24 for Quinnen Williams. You then see Justin Madubuike right before free agency starts signs for 24 and a half million. So every single contract not named Aaron Donald was just this incremental raise over the prior player. When Christian Wilkins doesn't get franchise tagged, and then Chris Jones signs his, you know, monster deal, which had the same $95 million over three as Aaron Donald, it said, okay, we can't ignore those contracts anymore. So Christian Wilkins signs for 4 years, $110 million, $27.5 million per year. He gets about $85 million over the first 3 years of the contract, which is a massive cash outlay. It was the best contract signed by a player, and he's awesome. But
Right.
He's 28 years old. He's not a great pass rusher. He's a fine pass rusher. I mean, he might be the best run defender in the NFL, but you know, you don't really pay as much for that as you do for the pure pass rush. So that's that example. In terms of a steal, I think Josh Uche going back to the Patriots, it was just a shock. Like, and every year we do get the reports of, hey, this player could have signed a much bigger contract elsewhere, but he chose to stay for whatever reason. I'm not sure I've ever seen an insider tweet out the actual terms of the deal, where Tom Pelissero said it was a 2-year, $15 million offer with $11.5 million guaranteed, and he chose to sign a 1-year, $3 million deal plus incentives for whatever reason to go back to New England. I don't really get why, but it's a steal for the Patriots.
By the way, back to Vegas for a second. Did Minshew get a deal that was awfully healthy for him?
Yeah, that one, again, like he was great last year. He was able to be a borderline playoff team stepping into, you know, a young Colts roster that, you know, definitely wasn't the greatest in the world. There were so many options available for those backup quarterbacks.
Right.
Hitting him 2 years, $25 million, it certainly was a bit rich. And like, you just did the Garoppolo deal last year. You still need to trade up for a quarterback or find a quarterback in some form or fashion. If they don't get a rookie quarterback, I don't know what they're doing. They're spending a ton of money to probably still be a borderline playoff team.
Yeah, it's almost like there's this group of quarterbacks, whether it's, you know, Minshew or Brissett or Mariota, they're all in, you know, a bunch. And then maybe you got guys like Howell and Heinicke. Those are the first two that come to mind for me. But I wonder if Minshew actually, because he's been so productive on teams that have actually been in the hunt for a postseason berth with him taking a significant number of snaps. I mean, he's played well almost every opportunity he's gotten. If the league viewed him as a bit more than a backup.
No, for sure. He is. He does deserve to be in that echelon of, like, you know, he'll now get a bunch of bridge opportunities, and he'll go places where they sign him and say, if the rookie's not ready, you're going to be the starter. You'll have a decently long leash, but if things go south, then maybe you'll lose the job. But, like, we're not – this isn't just a Band-Aid. Like, we think you could be a guy. At the same time, though, you watched the film from last year. Like, he is limited athletically and physically in what he's able to do.
Yeah.
There were a ton of, you know, dangerous throws, and yeah, he kind of got lucky at times with not throwing as many interceptions as he could have. So, yeah, I'm not an anti-Gardner Minshew guy. I just – is he, based on contracts, is he really that much better than, you know, Jacoby Brissett for 1 year, $8 million? I'd probably say no.
Yeah, his contract was certainly one of the more interesting ones, I thought, among the quarterbacks or that perceived backup quarterback pool. You mentioned Cameron Curl earlier. Why did he get the deal that he got ultimately? Was it just because there were too many safeties available?
No, so that happens pretty much every offseason. There's just always a ton of safeties available. Kind of on the flip side, like everyone was yelling at me. I had Geno Stone's projection at 2 years, $13 million. And everyone's like, you're a moron. He had seven, eight interceptions last year. He signed a 2-year, $14 million deal. Like, we've learned from a lot of these contracts. In years past, I projected way too many guys at that position to do well. And at the end of the day, the supply exceeds the demand, and it brings a lot of them down. But that said, Xavier McKinney signed for $17.5 million a year,
yeah.
And Kyle Duggar did get the transition tag. We'll see what ultimately happens there with Duggar. I have a feeling no one's going to make a super strong, you know, offer sheet, if at all, and he'll go back to the Wings on a modest deal. But Curl, for 2 years, up to $13 million, and I still haven't even seen the base value of that actual contract. I'm sure it's, you know, 2 years, 11, 2 years, 12. It's still a phenomenal value for the Rams. Like, even with the context and the understanding that this is a market that really struggles in free agency, and I know he hasn't, you know, had an interception in three seasons now since his rookie year, but he is third in the NFL in defensive stops among safeties over the last three or four seasons. Like, he's an all-around good player.
I agree.
Is he a special talent? No, he went the seventh round for a reason, but a very, very good football player. I'm still surprised, even though, you know, again, you are right that there's always more supply than demand, and a lot of safeties struggle to get these good contracts in time.
All right. Justin Fields to Pittsburgh for the conditional sixth. Why wasn't there a more robust market for him?
I think the big thing is what we've been talking about is there were just people didn't play the musical chairs game with the quarterbacks well enough. When they were sitting there saying he was going to get a first round pick or what have you, I was just like, where? Who's going to offer him that contract? You have Kirk Cousins going to Atlanta. We all knew it was going to happen. You know, Baker Mayfield fills the spot. You know, and then even the backup spots, even the guys we're talking about, the Gardner Minshews, the Brissettes, the Drew Locke going to the Giants, Tyrod Taylor to the Jets. Like, there were so many available high-end number twos. And obviously, we probably still think Fields should or could be a starter in this league. But there were just so few opportunities for that to happen. So I think that's the big thing. I know there's been reports that there were stronger offers out there. My understanding is none of them involved a pick better than day three anyway. So maybe there was a fifth or a fourth instead of a sixth. But and obviously there are conditions to make it a fourth. But yeah, I really think it just came down to not even really so much about Justin Fields, but just he's an unknown. He's an unproven commodity. There are question marks he has to work through. And there were just so many other options available.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't focus more on the contract and the fifth-year option, because I was talking about this the other day. If Pittsburgh doesn't pick up that fifth-year option, which I think the odds suggest that they won't, then you're looking at a one-year, $3.6 million deal. I think that's what's left for him here in year four. Like, I just can't believe other teams weren't interested in just a one-year, like all the teams that did one-year rentals, essentially, why they didn't choose him. But there must be something more than that. You don't think Pittsburgh will pick up that fifth-year option, do you?
No, so that's a great point. So no, there's a 0% chance. And I think that is my answer to be why. Like, why did Howell and Kenny Pickett and those guys arguably fetch a better return is that question. Because I think it is a one-year deal. No, they're not picking up a $25 million fully guaranteed option on Justin Fields. So, yeah, that's the thing. The control, the 2 years of control as a backup is better. Yeah, you know, also it's just obviously you have to kind of cater your offense to a different approach. He's not some safe, you know, Kenny Pickett type player who has no ceiling but has also arguably a higher floor.
All right, I lied. I've got one more for you. Tell me who Washington picks at number two and who they should pick at number two.
They should pick Drake May. I think they're going to take Drake May. I know we've heard a lot of Jaden Daniels buzz from people that seem to be connected to the team or, you know, just know things about the NFL draft and the NFL at large. I think Drake May is a clearly superior prospect to Jaden Daniels. I don't think it's, frankly, super close. I think from a tool standpoint, his arm is bigger. I think he throws over the middle of the field at a way higher clip. He is also better at avoiding letting pressures turn to sacks. Jaden Daniels is one of the worst we've seen in a while there. When he does scramble, Drake May also does does run a lot when he scrambles. So, and that sounds dumb, but I'm trying to say is we look at now when you do take off, do you still look to throw when you're scrambling, or do you just tuck it and run? You know, Caleb Williams kind of gets talked about as he scrambles too much. Actually, when he scrambles, he throws the ball over 60% of the time. Drake May is about 45. Jaden Daniels like 25. So anyway. He's obviously younger by a couple years, too, so there's more upside potential, more growth. I think they would be crazy not to take Drake May second overall.
All right, well, we will agree to disagree on that one, and I won't hit you with my pressure to sack percentage context for Jaden Daniels because my audience has heard it too many times over the last couple of weeks, and I've taken too much of your time. We'll do it next time. Thank you so much for your time, Brad. Appreciate it as always.
Yes, of course. Thank you.
Brad Spielberger, PFF. Enjoyed that conversation with Brad. All right, we are done for the day. Back on Monday.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today.
MyPatriotSupply.com.